And welcome to the Patreon mailbag 2023 in 2024. And there's no intro, there's no music. We're just going to get right into it because we're going to have fun, right, guys? Joe and Sean, you're both here. Say you're here.
Present. Yeah, present.
Okay, good, good. Okay, we're not taking attendance. You just could have, you know, you could have maybe said something fun.
Yeah, we got questions to answer. Do we have to RSQ? Will this be reflected in our final? What is the percentage of our final?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's no grading today, but I'm sure the listeners who submitted these questions, which, by the way, the listeners who submitted these questions are from our Patreon subscription. So if you ever wondered, how can I ask Nostalgia a question? Well, you could probably just do it on Twitter and I would respond. But if you want it answered in detail, in audio, then this is how you do it.
Oh, and this is so, an ad. This is an ad episode.
It's an ad episode. It's like a good twist on the mailbag. It's like it's half grift, half thoughtful answers.
I thought we were going to do a clip show.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Actually how we were going to answer the questions originally, but we actually didn't have enough. Believe it or not, 315 episodes, and we still haven't like said everything there ever is to say. So we have to answer these questions.
What about the time we just said the alphabet?
I thought about that, but and I don't remember what episode that is, but the issue is then that's like, we did that so this way listeners could build episodes of Nostalgia on their own. That would just make me have to build this episode on my own, so rather than spend the next year working on that, I figured I could just get you two to answer these questions alongside me.
Perfect. Outsource it all.
Yes. And you know what? Not an ad, because I didn't give the website yet. Maybe I'll do that at the end of the show, but I think you know how to get to our Patreon if you really wanted to and subscribe. And if you don't want to, that's fine too, but just notice that you're listening to the episode, so you can at least thank the Patreon members for that.
We'll pass it along.
All right, so we're just going to answer these questions that came in kind of in the order they came in, I guess. I don't remember how I did this, but there's no winners. I'm not giving out. This isn't whose line is it anyway. There's no imaginary points or anything. So just have fun with it. If you don't have a great answer, I don't know, pass or something, and then I'll delete it. So the first question we have, and also I'm not saying who they're from. They know who, if they submitted it, they know who they are. Yeah. And yeah, we don't need anybody saying, that's a dumb question, right? Nobody needs to hear that because there's no such thing as a dumb question, but there are dumb answers. So let's see if we can give one. The first question, what is a hot TV or movie IP from the NES lifespan, 1985 to 1995? That wasn't made into a video game, but should have been. Sean, would you like to start?
Yeah, so I was going to say Die Hard, but apparently they made that a game in 96. So I had to...
But it's right outside the NES lifespan.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with some higher concept answers. The first of which is Stand By Me. Now, have you seen this movie?
I am familiar with the movie.
Okay, cool. So, like, it's going to be, like, kind of like a point-and-click adventure. All the kids are there. But, like, just at the end, there's just, like, this very disturbingly detailed dead body, and then the game just kind of ends. But with, like, an 8-bit version of that Benny King song, Stand By Me.
Yes, okay.
And then, you know, sticking with the...
Did you check, Sean, to make sure that's not coming up?
Oh, you're right. Podcast? We actually, on the podcast. Well, I thought maybe because there might be another like Sony State of Play, it might get announced.
Oh, or that.
Yeah. And then, you know, sticking with the Stephen King thing, it's a book, but it's not like a movie, but the book was out. Right? Like, I think the miniseries was out too.
Yeah, the Tim Curry miniseries.
Yeah. So the
I didn't
first
even know it was a book.
No, come on.
I forgot it was Stephen King. I just thought of it as the movie.
That sounded so sarcastic when you said it that I was
like, actually genuinely serious.
Yeah,
right. Like, I just remembered book. That it's a Stephen King thing, so of course it was a book. But...
Yeah, it's so long, Joe. It's like like 800 pages or something? It's a very detailed book because of, you know, it had to be broken up into two parts in the recent movie franchise. Of course, the second part of that movie, and this is not now a movie review podcast, but I did not enjoy the second part as much.
No, part two was kind of shitty compared to the first one. But okay, just bear with me. The first half is a side scroller, and each level is like a different kid. and each of them has like a clown-themed mini-boss. And then the second half of the game is a tactical, like, turn-based battle against, like, the clown spider that you use with the party members that didn't die, but now they're adults.
Ooh.
And then the last one I got is a Glengarry Glen Ross door-to-door light gun shooter.
Love that, too, but hold on a second. Can we go back to the it thing? Because I just have a question. Are you saying that in the side-scrolling levels...
You can die.
When your kid dies, it, like, progression still moves forward. Like, you go to the next kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And their stage and everything. And then whoever, like, it's like Mass Effect 2 style.
Yeah, you get different endings and shit.
Yeah, different endings. And wow, I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. You sold me. And, you know, it wouldn't be unheard of, right? Like, we've already played, what are those movies called? Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th,
yeah, we already played a Friday the 13th game. And I believe there's some other horror movie games that we're going to get. So, not unheard of to have that kind of thing. I like it. Joe, what do you got?
Well, I definitely didn't go as above and beyond here with the quantity of answers, but I have one answer I feel strongly about that I would have loved as a child, which is Rugrats. And the reason that this stuck out in my head is because there was actually a Rugrats PlayStation 1 game that I thought was...
Feels like a fever dream, yeah.
Yes, yes, but I've looked it up since it was there's a couple of them, but the one I'm always thinking of is Rugrats Search for Reptar, and it was fantastic, and I think that it, you know, Rugrats doesn't necessarily need to be a 3D, like, I don't know, sandbox-ish game that like this was. I think you could Rugrats was prime for video game making back in the 8-bit era, so I don't really have like exactly what it would be, but I'm, you know, I would like to not make it just a standard side scroller, which I feel like a lot of IP like this became, and I feel like I'd like to make it like an overworld Legend of Zelda style demake of the like Legend of Zelda graphical
I can see
style
it.
Demake of that PS1 game.
Okay, I just kind of see Tommy. I kind of see Tommy just like crawling in four directions from a top-down perspective. I like that.
Yeah.
Legend of Stella is the streetcar named Desire video game, and that's fine, but...
No, I was going to say Legend of Stella is the champagne of NES games.
That's Miller.
Yeah, not Stella.
Stella is the champagne of beer.
I think that's Miller High Life.
I think that's Miller High Life. Yeah,
come on, bro.
What universe are you coming from? You know, it was a book.
Wait, was Stella
and you don't
a book
know.
Before it was?
Yeah, right. Joe, I do have to scoop you here, though. Did you know 5 months ago that a indie game company is making and announced and had a trailer for a Rugrats NES game that will work on NES
no
hardware
fucking
and everything?
Way.
Yeah, are you serious?
And it is basically like what you were saying that like. Side-scrolling action-style game that, like, so many of these things become and everything. So you can choose your... It's basically like Super Mario Brothers 2 clone. You can choose your baby between Tommy, Chucky, Phil, and Lil. And then you, you know, go through the stages or whatever, basically going around the house. And then the, you know, the imagination parts become their own thing. And, you know, it really is like Super Mario Brothers 2 where, like, you pick up objects from the ground and you can you know, they're vertical scrolling stages in addition to horizontal scrolling stages, and there's boss fights and everything. It's really cool. Wow. And they're also having like an HD mode in the game too that removes the NES graphical style and just does
it removes
like
in,
wait what? What? Like the NES graphical style was like applied over top of like a like a high res
I'm not sure how that's game. Done that's like a pretty nifty feature to just like throw in at the end of your trailer, but yeah, it's like done in the style of the cartoon instead. Obviously not like hand-drawn animation or anything, but just like
that's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah,
I will definitely have to play that. And also, you know, just so you know, if one of the pins in your NES comes loose, the NES game becomes HD footage.
Yeah, I was gonna
yeah,
say.
That's how it works.
What
I was
about
actually,
you, Mike?
I was surprised to find out that there was no Transformers game for the NES. You know, there are Transformers video games, of course, but those came later. They didn't come during the 8-bit generation. And so, I don't know, like, Transformers was hot as early as, like, 1986, so where's the game where you just, like, play as Optimus Prime and it's, like, you know, it's like Contra, but with Optimus Prime. That game needs to exist. But since Transformers has other video games, I was looking for, like, okay, but what's like a Sean example of, like, an IP that never got a video game? And then I was thinking about not Family Matters, right? Like, not the sitcom Family Matters, but Steve Urkel was such a popular character and, you know, showed up on so many other TV shows, and there was, you know, there was an Urkel dance and everything, and all these different ways to get him in various consumer products, that it surprises me that there's no, like, Steve Urkel video game, right? It's not like you play as Carl and Laura and all the other Family Matters cats. You're just playing as Urkel, but then, like, it's like a comedy side-scrolling action game where, you know, like, he's just invented some crazy science robot that now, like, is going to take over Chicago if he doesn't do something about it. Like, that's what I'm picturing in my
head. Like that. I also would like if it was, like, Steve Urkel, but it was sort of like Nobunaga's ambition. and every other province is whatever, like, TV series that he's going to cross over with, and you just have to get them all, you know?
I like that, just like the whole, like, early 90s sitcom universe
landscape,
in one game. It's like Disney Infinity, but for
sitcom. Like, instead of like people, you could have viewers, and instead of like crop droughts, you could just have like a drop in the ratings. I don't know.
It would be called Super Urkel Boy. Working off Super Mario Brothers. Urkel Boy. You guys playing Super Urkel Boy this weekend?
Sounds like what your parents would call it. Like, hey, you playing that Super Urkel Boy game? Like, it's not what it's called.
Yeah, it's not what it's called. It's called Family Matters the Video Game, Mom. anyway, moving on to our next question. We should decide right now, are we going to answer in that kind of detail for all these questions?
Well, I mean, this one you really can't, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. All right. The next question, you can add a save function to one NES game. Which one do you pick, Joe?
I'm going with one of my favorites of all time, one of my favorite games of all time, played since I was a kid, Super Mario Bros. 3. So many times I would have to walk away from that NES, and by the time I was playing the NES, NESs were very fragile. You know, you got to shut all the windows so no draft comes through, because the NES will just reset if any wind blows by it. So that was always a long-running frustration for me. So, yeah, I think Super Mario Bros. 3 should have had a full save function, or at least a password system or something.
Okay. Yeah, mine is actually more for your... this is also for you, Joe. But
thank you.
It's not for any specific game, but it would be for any of those games that have a creative stage mode. Like, all of those need some kind of save function, like Wrecking Crew or... Like, I think Excitebike had one too, right? Like, being unable to save in those games kind of undercuts the feature entirely. So, just for you know, quality of life.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm actually going to piggyback off of that and pick a very specific game, or a franchise rather, the Mega Man games. I would love it if you could actually just save after you beat a certain stage or whatever, because specifically when you get to the Wily stages in these games, it becomes increasingly challenging. And so it would be great to eventually just reach the point where I can just say, like, all right, you know, like, I understand that I have to beat these Wily stages before I can get to the next save point or whatever, right? But at least I don't have to deal with going back to the beginning, you know, wiping all my progress. So I think, like, having the ability to save between stages in Mega Man sounds like stupid broken at first, and then eventually you realize, well, like, actually there's no harm, right? There's no harm to the player, so might as well allow it.
Yeah, there's one save point and that's it. Just, did you get to Wily?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and now your game has changed forever. You can never play the other stages again. All right, next question. I want you to experience the pain and suffering that an 80s and 90s kid did. I should remind people that we are 90s kids. Like, we weren't born in the 2000s. The most recent holiday season that you completed was 1989. And since we're New York boys, this listener has sourced prices from The Gray Lady, which is apparently a store that was in New York or thereabouts. And so
very spooky name for a game store. Yeah.
The magazine basically from 1989 lists a bunch of different prices for NES games. I'm not going to list them all here. We have the prices in front of us, but assuming you have a $100 budget, which I think is crazy, I would have gone lower, but you have to stay true to the question. Assuming you have a $100 budget, what games are you picking? And I should note that on this magazine, right, there's a lot of NES games, but then there's also some like Tiger handheld electronics and a remote controlled Batmobile, a Game Boy, but with no games. So you have to decide if you just want to buy that and not be able to play anything. So with that in mind, Sean, what are you picking?
All right, so I'm going to get Ninja Gaiden. It's $44.99. That's already half my budget right there. So I gotta like pick and choose carefully now. Second would be Metal Gear. That's $24.91.
And 91 is a weird, right?
It's a really strange thing.
But I'm gonna, 91s,
I mean. Yeah, I'm gonna take his word for it. It sounds like it was a thing back then. And you know, I don't want to spend all my time playing games. I kind of want that Batmobile, so let's throw that in the cart. I'm gonna cheat here again. With the remaining $21.03, I'm gonna buy 35 shares of Microsoft.
Wow, there you go. Nicely done, and then you'll be able to buy the a copy of Stadium Events not too long after. Yeah. Joe, what are you picking?
So I also went Ninja Gaiden. That's the $44.99. I think you might be surprised. I went with Operation Wolf.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I think I voted it essential, actually. I really had a blast with it, and you know, based on what's on this list and the budget I have, it was just, you know, I'm trying to get the most bang for my buck here. Now, if I could, you know, search the couch cushions and maybe beg for change outside of the Gray Lady and scrounge up $3 more or so, I would buy Metal Gear. But if I can't do that, then I gotta go with Othello, which is just the next, you know, one of the only couple video games on here that I can afford, and the best of the ones I can afford that I would want.
Buy Othello and then proceed to never beat the computer. Were you on the Othello episode, Joe?
I think I was on the Othello. Okay, I remember playing it, so.
Yeah, probably then, but yeah. I just remember how, like, at a certain difficulty, like, the opponents just couldn't be beat. The computers were too smart. And then as for what I would have actually bought if I was a kid in December 1989, who knows? I would have probably made something really stupid decisions. You know, I would have based it up on the box art or something. So I would have obviously not have bought Jeopardy, but that's good because I would have saved myself there. I probably would have bought Ninja Gaiden because that's got a ninja on it. That's pretty cool. Skate or Die. I mean, that sounds intense. Yeah. So I probably would have bought that. But with the money and the knowledge that I have, the most bang for my buck is Dragon Warrior for $44.99. That's a huge RPG, mm-hmm. at least for, you know, the times and everything. So I'm going to pick that up and then go entirely in the other direction. Unlimited replayability with Tetris for $34.97. And I still have a little bit of money left over. And I'm a little bit of a, you know, I like to be thrifty when possible. And so I like that the wisecracking Alf doll was originally $40. Now he's only $12.92. You push his belly, he tells a joke. Who doesn't love Alf?
It's on clearance, dude. Like, obviously something's wrong with it.
Yeah, the Alf's actually, when you push the belly, poison gas comes out of the mouth.
But just call. I think, like, one of the things that the submitter of this question was trying to illustrate to us, like, can you imagine any of these games costing, not any, a good portion of these games costing that amount of money? Like, Tetris is free on your phone if you want to watch some ads for games that don't exist, and then another $35 for Jeopardy? Like, that's insanity.
The prices are also all over the place, which is really interesting, right? Like, nowadays, it's... You know, when a game releases, it's $70, and then, like, you know, occasionally, you know, you'll see
the Ultimate Edition, it's $100.
Right. But you'll see, like, some games are $30 or whatever. This is, some games are $45, some games are as cheap as, what is there? There was, like, a $12 game or
Qbert's
something, right?
1991.
1991, yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so, you know, that's a good price and everything. And then just the price of the consoles, though, too. A Sega Master System, two controllers, one phaser. Now, no game, but only $99.97. I don't know what that adjusts for inflation, but PS5s are expensive.
They are.
And they don't come with a game either, although I guess
I'm
going to
say it's at least double. I don't actually know.
Astro's Playroom is a game, right? I enjoyed it.
Yes,
I platinum that game.
Highly rated.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I also enjoy this next question. Which NES games are better than their arcade counterparts? Joe?
Well, I'll confess I don't really have an answer here because I really haven't played any of the arcade counterparts of pretty much any of these. Even like the ones that we've done, I haven't really gone back and played the arcade counterparts. So I'll let you guys answer first, and maybe if I think of something, I'll come up with it. But
yeah, I don't mean to be a downer here, but I also I don't have too much arcade experience, and even with that disclaimer, like I can't even think of any game that looks worse or plays worse in arcade, aside from them like the home version not eating all your quarters.
Yeah, it's funny that you know, when we talk about that these games came to the arcade, usually the selling point of having it on your NES is that now you own it. You can stop feeding the local pizzeria quarters and you can just have the game forever and just play it as much as you want. You know, which is funny because now people are having a similar thing with no longer wanting to buy physical games, so they buy digital games, and then like, you know, 10 years later they're like, oh, the servers are down, so you no longer have access to those games. It's like, you sure you didn't want to buy physical? That's the whole right. You're like, you sure you didn't want to buy that arcade cabinet from the guy instead of just giving him a quarter? Think, people, think. What's funny is I do play not all, but most of the arcade games to get a feel of just how much better they are. And there's a reason why they're better, okay? They're not using NES hardware. Like, they're specialized machines, yeah. So they're able to perform a lot better. And I would say 99% of the arcade games are better than the NES games, but there is one that comes to mind for me, and that is the NES game Gyrus, which the arcade game's not bad or whatever, but I actually found that, for me at least, the NES game controlled better. I had more control over, if you remember, Gyrus is the shmup where you like move around in a circle shooting at the enemies they like come up. I found that controlled better than the arcade counterpart.
Was that the one, I think we talked about on the episode, was that like a dial that you had before? Or I think I liked the idea, but again, I've never played it, so who knows.
But the NES did give you two different options too, of how you want the D-pad to work, which was nice. You know, you could train it to either be like, you know, because there was a certain like momentum based thing where like you just, you know, you could either just do like, okay, left and right. So if I swing it right, it moves to the right. And if I press left,
clockwise,
it moves to the left.
Yeah,
counterclockwise. Yeah. But then there was another one that was more like, okay, but if I'm in this position, left behaves differently. You know, like if I'm at
versus to its left.
Right, right. So I don't know, all smart stuff, all the kind of necessary changes you need to do to make these NES games worthy of their arcade counterparts, you know?
Hell yeah.
Next question. For the video game genres you think missed the mark, what do you recommend instead? To make this harder, you cannot choose a series, but instead specific personal favorites within a series. Example, you guys have not been too hot on baseball games, so you can't just say MLB The Show as a series is better. You would have to pick a specific year of the show to suffice. The question then goes on to list a bunch of game genres that we haven't been happy with, which almost reads like parody because it's basically every genre you can think of. And I don't think that's necessarily true of us.
Yeah.
I don't even know, I consider a lot of them genres, you know, like,
but based on a child's toy, based on a children's game show. But I mean, I've got an answer for almost all of them. So, like, dude, let's just go for it.
Somebody just, like, clarify to me exactly what is this question asking me to do. Like, find something that's not on the NES, like a better version of a baseball game that doesn't exist on the NES?
Yes, take a game from, like, PS5, N64, any other like area that you actually thought like, oh, I would put this kind of game on the essential games list though. Like, so we haven't put a pinball game from the NES on the essential games list, but is there any pinball video game that you would put on the essential games list?
All right. I'll try to answer on the fly here because I misunderstood that, so I don't have them, but you know, I'll chime in when I have.
Well, the essential pinball game is Yoku's Island Express. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but that is an incredible like Pinballvania game. It's a pinball Metroidvania. It's like, it's unbelievable, but that's the selling point of the whole thing.
All right, good, because I didn't have an answer for that one.
Yep. So, Sean, sounds like you have some prepared answers. So do you want me, I'll list the game and genre, and then you chime in with the answer?
Yeah, and Joe, you should chime in too.
Yeah, I will as I come up with them.
Okay, baseball.
Okay, so, I mean, he did sort of list it as an example, but like MLB The Show 16 was the one that I played the most of, and I haven't really noticed too many changes since then, so let's go with that.
MVP Baseball 2005, for my money. That is the best. That was the one I think I was talking about in another episode where, like, you set the concession stand prices and you have to say, okay, on this day, it's bobblehead night. Like, who? No, what yeah, other game lets shit. You do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Madden so used to, yep. But anyway.
Volleyball.
I can't speak from experience because I've never played something like this, but Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, I've heard that's pretty good.
It's extreme, so it must be, even though you have no personal experience.
Yeah, I never would have played that.
Yeah, I heard that there's also another reason why people really like that game, but it doesn't have to do with the volleyball or something like that.
Something like that.
I've got one. It was called Slime Volleyball. It was a Flash game that we played like at study hall on the computer during middle school.
Yeah, or
during class.
Golf, but that can't be true because we love the first iteration of golf on the NES.
Yeah.
NES golf. So, Sean, what's your answer?
I just put Golf Story. That was fun.
I'm putting Kirby's Dream Course. Does that count as a golf game?
Yeah, that's a golf game. Right? That's a very good answer.
I can play that game forever.
Yeah, fantastic answer. I would also put Mario Golf from the Game Boy, which was like an actual RPG Mario Golf game. It's weird. Soccer.
I just put Football Manager 2020 because I did play that for a bit and I got lost in all of it. But I think I liked it better than just like FIFA.
I got nothing for this.
Okay.
Wrestling.
WWE SmackDown Here Comes the Pain.
Ooh, okay.
See, there's one that I want to say. It's a WWF game on the PS1. I think it's the first one that came out on the PS1 and N64. I'm going to say that right now. I'm sure it's actually terrible. I remember it fondly, though.
I think the first one on PS1 was Warzone.
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay, wow, that game is terrible, Joe.
I used to love it.
Here Comes the Pain still holds up today. It's Create a Wrestler is still freaking wild with what you can do with that. Like, I've made some actual, like it looks like a Resident Evil bioweapon kind of looking dudes. It's great.
I would pick WWF No Mercy for the N64. That's like of those THQ style wrestling games of that time. That's like the one that had everything and anything. And just even like surprising unlockable characters that like you would never really be able to unlock. So you would just eventually like see them in a magazine or something or hear about them and be like, no, they're not in the game. And then they really were. So that's cool. But also this is a fun anecdote on that one. We rented it from Blockbuster so many times that my dad just got fed up and bought it for us. He was like, stop wasting your money renting this game and I'll just buy it for you. But I don't know where he bought it from. He worked in the city. So he must've just like found some shop because it didn't have like an actual box. It just had in red marker, WWF No Mercy on it. And it was the game and it worked and everything. So
he had a guy.
Yeah, he had a guy. Everybody in New York City at that time had a guy. What's next? Early 80s arcade. I don't know. I don't know. Right? Yeah.
When I was younger, my aunt and uncle used to have on their PC a Frogger game, and it was three-dimensional, but it was Frogger. And you'd hop across the street, whatever. But then there'd be like levels where you're like floating in the sky, and there's like you got to jump across different clouds.
I think I had all these different levels. Yeah,
all these different levels, and you can play as like four different Frogger, iconic Frogger characters.
Frogger, Lady Frogger. Frogger.
I remember Tad.
Oh, okay.
He was a little guy, a little blue guy, I think.
Nice.
So I'll go with that.
I don't know if these are 80s arcade style games, but they are extensions of them. And I have said this before, but Pac-Man Championship Edition is one of the greatest games of all time. It's definitely in my top 10, maybe even my top 5.
The low top version, right?
Is that a thing?
Isn't it? Like the one
I just played on Steam.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like an actual like arcade situation.
No, where... no. This is that one where they like the original creator of Pac-Man was like, you know, I figured out a way to make Pac-Man even more fun 30 years later. And it becomes this, you know, like set to music, like rhythm style game where like, the you know, the pellets are laid out in very specific fashions and the ghosts are like, you know, programmed in specific ways that like basically they'll chase behind you and, you know, one mistake and then this like row of like 20 ghosts is going to eat you. But you eat the pellets and then that forms power pellets, which then you eat the 20 ghosts. It's all very satisfying.
I think I've played something like this where it like there's like giant ghosts sometimes. There's giant Pac-Man.
That's DX. Championship Edition 2. No, it's the second one. Yeah, don't play that one. They couldn't top themselves, unfortunately. The first one's better. And then on a similar note, Space Invaders Extreme. It's not quite like top 10 material like Pac-Man Championship Edition, but Space Invaders Extreme is awesome. Racing simulation, racing kart, racing futuristic, racing motorcycle, dirt bike racing. You got an answer for this?
I've got one for racing kart. And okay. I will.
Oh no. I know what it is.
I will say it. I do think Crash Team Racing.
Hell yeah.
Has always been better than Mario Kart.
Well,
better
I mean,
than
I'm
Mario
not
Kart
say...
8.
Better than Mario Kart 8, yes. Well, see, here's the thing. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking to sit down and just have a fun time and, you know, you can play with anyone, you can play with the kids, you can play with, you know, you can play competitively, that's Mario Kart 8. But if you want, like, a hard, like, a challenging, like, good, challenging-ish kart racer, I do think it is ZTR. ZTR makes me feel like I'm going fast. It's a rush.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying that game. In all honesty, I can probably remember one, like, image of me of myself playing that game. I don't remember how it handled or anything.
Well, you remember the image of yourself playing that you were having like an out of body experience?
Yeah, there was like a lava themed racetrack, and I remember having fun in that moment. But I do have a twofer for racing futuristic and racing motorcycle dirt bike racing, and that would be Jet Moto. Still
okay,
one of my like top classic PlayStation 1 games. There was, for some reason, Mountain Dew product placement in this game, where like one of the teams that you'd race for in this post-apocalyptic wasteland was Mountain Dew.
I'm sold just on that.
Yeah, I
say
would definitely
else.
Look it up.
I would just add for racing simulation, Gran Turismo 4. And the reason I say that specifically, I'm having a great time with Gran Turismo 7. But it's a flawed system where basically the game is entirely online and one day it will turn off. And so that argument I made earlier about like physical and digital, it actually doesn't matter because I have a physical copy of the game that's just going to turn into a coaster one day. So that's fun right now, but I can't recommend that in good faith. Gran Turismo 4 is like all the best parts of Gran Turismo 2. But with that, finally, they got like the HD graphics and they figured out like that satisfying menu thing and the music's top notch and there's just so much you can do in that game. So, you know, if you're into PlayStation 1 games, Gran Turismo 2 is fine and serviceable and definitely one of the best games on that system, but Gran Turismo 4 is just over the edge.
I did put two, yeah.
Turn-based grand strategy role-playing simulation. Think Nobunaga's Ambition. So 4X, right?
Yeah. I just put Civilization 4. Like, that was the one that I got into that stuff with. Obviously, it's not as number crunchy as Nobunaga's Ambition, and I think that's for the better. I also like some grand strategy, but I don't think it really fits that same mold either. But Civ 4 was top-notch.
Turn-based RPG game most like Zelda 2.
I didn't know what this was asking.
I'm confused because, Zelda 2 is not turn-based.
Yeah.
It's an ARPG. So then in that case, do I get to say, like, Kingdom Hearts 2? Like, does that work?
Oh, if we're going ARPG, I went the other route, and I just went turn-based RPG and ignored the Zelda 2, but in which case I said the obvious ones, like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, Pokemon, and the not obvious one, Guardians Crusade, great game of my childhood.
I would also just add that we have a better game than Zelda 2 on the Essential Games list. It's called Fazanadu, and it's going to probably stay on there as long as Zelda 2 is not on there. Education.
I won't necessarily argue that it's better than Zelda 2, but I will argue that Zelda 2 belongs on the central game.
Yep. We're just at this point, we're just keeping it off to have listeners listen to see if it'll ever come on.
To see if it'll go on.
Yeah. Education. You got an answer for this, anybody? A fun education
it's,
game?
It's obviously Frog Fractions. You can't beat it.
You do learn a lot in that game.
You do.
I mean, I was pretty happy with Donkey Kong Jr. Math, but if I had to come up with something, I don't know. I used to like Math Blasters.
Math Blasters is good. Oh, yeah. I would add Number Munchers as well, but you guys aren't familiar with that. We talked about that in another episode. So check out Number
Sonic,
Munchers.
The Sonic Math or whatever.
Sonic Math game?
I think so.
There was an M&M Crash Bandicoot clone that I got in like a cereal box, maybe in a dream one time, that was educational. There's a lot of qualifiers for this game that I really enjoyed.
Billiards.
I haven't played a billiards game that wasn't like just a flash game at all since probably the one on the moon. So I don't know.
What would it take for a billiards game?
I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, it has to be an open world RPG, you know?
The hole is somewhere in the whole world and you're just knocking the cue ball around the overworld map.
No, it just has to be like you're a pool shark and all that stuff, you know?
I know nothing about what time period Red Dead Redemption 2 takes place or when pool was invented, but Red Dead Redemption 3 should have billiards.
Yeah.
Then that would be the best billiards.
Because I basically, at the end of my playtime with Red Dead Redemption 1, was just using that as a poker game. Like, I was booting up the game to play poker. And real quick, the Sonic game was Sonic Schoolhouse. Sorry.
Wow, that's crazy that I never heard of that. I thought I knew everything about Sonic. I even know that video game where you get him pregnant.
Hell yeah.
Okay, 1v1 fighter game. Like, think Karate Champ. But I would just say fighting game at this point, because we're going to pick something...
obvious, like Street Fighter.
Street Fighter 2 and beyond, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked Tekken, too, so I liked Tekken 2, and I think it was Tekken 5 or something I always had on my PS3.
How dare you skip Tekken 3 like that?
I don't know if I really ever played Tekken 3.
That's great.
I don't know which Tekken I played.
But it was Tekken 3.
Here's a sleeper pick. Star Wars Episode 3, the video game, had a one-on-one lightsaber fighter mode that I used to just have a blast with. I still think it's the most fun one-on-one, like, two-player lightsaber battle that you can have.
It wasn't Jedi Knight?
No, not Jedi Knight. It was, I like those games too, but those weren't really curated for, like, lightsaber physics.
Okay, yeah. Like, I just remember there was one that played online, and, like, you would just sort of hang out in a space, and you could challenge people to lightsaber duels.
Yeah, that was, it was Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. And that was fun too, but the lightsaber, it was just like you're both just kind of swinging and like hitting each other, your health's like going down. This one, I mean, obviously the way lightsabers work, you can't really make them the way they work in the movies, or else everything's like a one-hit kill. So like, obviously there's a little bit of like, the lightsaber feels like a blunt object at times, but like there's a lot of like parrying and like using the force to knock someone back and, you know, things like that where it felt like a lightsaber duel from the movies. It's a PS2 game, so again, it might not have aged very well, but...
Okay.
I think I have a few picks here, and they all start with the number 2, so maybe that tells you how good, you know, sequels are for fighting games, but Capcom vs. SNK 2, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Soul Calibur 2, and then, yeah, Tekken 3, not Tekken 2, but that's okay. In fact, I've actually heard great things about most Tekken games. I only played Tekken 3, and that was good times. Notice that there's not a Street Fighter, or do we not play Street Fighter games?
I like Street Fighter. Yeah. I just kind of said it because it was the obvious choice.
But what's your Street Fighter?
I mean, I probably have the most experience with 5.
Okay.
But, I mean, I like 2 as well.
You gonna check out 6? You ever gonna check out 6?
I own 6. I just don't play it very often because I got distracted.
That's sounds like my life.
Yeah.
All right, next up, based on a television series. Do you guys have a video game from a television series that you're happy with?
I think of. Yeah, I had to cheat on this one because I haven't played the game, but it's been on my like to play list, and it also crosses over with based on a novel. But I want to play that Telltale game for The Expanse. It was like I didn't even realize that Telltale was like a thing still, and they just have. And I just finished like marathoning The Expanse, and I hear about this Telltale game, so I want to play those. I have no idea if they're good. It the one game
based on a novel, Joe.
Based on a novel. I thought we were on television series. Based on a novel, I sort of have, but I also sort of cheated. Because it's based on a movie based on a novel, but the also PS2 Lord of the Rings Return of the King game, that game, I played it recently again. I mean, I used to love it when I was a kid. That game still is fantastic. I don't care what anyone says. It's like one of the best games based on a movie, which happens to be based on a novel.
Based on a manga.
I have no idea.
I do have one that I also just played recently. It is a ROM hack, and it is Pokemon Fire Red Rocket Edition. And it is apparently based on a manga. You play through the perspective of a Team Rocket member who is playing his journey simultaneously to Red's journey, and you're realizing like, what they were doing behind the scenes the whole time. And it fleshes out a ton of lore that I actually might read the manga. I've never read a manga before, and maybe this will be the one I start with.
I would add Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku for the Game Boy Advance. That was like a crazy ARPG where you play basically everything in the DBZ storyline up to the end of the Frieza or Namek arc, however you refer to it. And that was just crazy because it wasn't a fighting game like all those Budokai games, which are great, but you know, you played one, you played them all. This actually like made Dragon Ball Z into the way that we saw it on TV. So I really appreciated that. Just probably for the same reason as you were saying, Joe, with the Pokemon game. Based on a game show.
I got nothing.
Now, it's based off of, it's inspired by a game show, and I've talked about it before, but the only one I can think of is Who Wants to Beat Up a Millionaire?
That's great. I don't think that this is worthy of the list, but most faithful to a game show is the Deal or No Deal like arcade cabinet at Dave and Buster's, where it's just you play Deal or No Deal. You just open up briefcases based on potential tickets. You're able to take a ticket at any time. So you're able to take a deal at any time for that number of tickets. It just works exactly like the game show. So it's got to be like at least the goal, right? Based on a children's game show, I think we can skip that. I don't think we're gonna have an answer for that, right?
Give me 1 second to turn off fucking Teams notifications. They're blowing up in the corner.
Okay, sounds great. We'll leave this in the episode, sure.
That was happening to me too for a while. I tuned them out so easily that I just didn't notice until like 5 minutes ago. I just shut mine off.
Nice. So everybody,
be a big notification heavy episode.
Yeah, a lot of people are just gonna keep checking their phone and computers for like what's going on right now.
Yeah, we should start just asking Alexa to do things too loudly.
There is you know, another children's game show I can think of is there was a Guts game on Super Nintendo, but it sucked. So okay. I'm not gonna include it. Yeah, I didn't
Those
like
are
it at all.
Muted now.
Based on a board game, I have an answer here. The Game of Life.
Yes.
PlayStation
1.
Yeah, so freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was actually good or just, like, I liked it and you liked it. I think it was actually bad, but, yeah.
It plays it, though. It does all of the work for you, has funny, like,
yeah, they did
very
funny,
crude CG cutscenes, and, you know, and it's a functional game, and I think it even added some features, too, of, like, different options for playstyles, so I was a fan. What's the next one? Based on a children's toy. Is that possible? Was there any Nerf video games?
I mean, I guess it's Beast Wars based on the toy. Is that based off of a show?
A show, right, at that point?
All right.
I got one. I mean, it is a series, and I know you said no series, but Lego Star Wars. But like, if I have to pick one, I'll pick the most recent one because it's fantastic. But the original
that is a good answer. Yeah, Lego Star Wars. Yeah, that's a good one, Joe.
Deck building card game.
We haven't had one of those on the NES. I guess unless you're counting Taboo, but that's not deck building.
Taboo was an application.
Yeah, the deck is actually built for you in tarot by the fate, right? Like, fate just decides what your fate will be, evidently. So if we're taking just the deck building thing, you know, I don't know how much is the deck building, but Slay the Spire is the first thing that comes to my mind. Yeah, you're not actually like collecting cards and building a deck necessarily, but you are building a deck throughout your individual playthroughs of like selecting which cards you want to add to your hand.
I'm gonna go Inscription because it's similar in that sense, but it blew my mind. Great storytelling in a card based video game.
It's on my PlayStation Plus wish list. It got added there. I'll have to play it.
Yes, let me know.
And Sean, you should take this one away for us. Horror.
Yeah, I mean, don't even get me started. You've heard me talk about horror games many times. Like, you got your Resident Evils, you got your Silent Hills, you got your Final Frames, not Final Frames, your Fatal Frames if you're into that stuff. You got your indies like Granny. Granny's weird. Play Granny. It's really weird.
And last one, Flying Sim / Cockpit Perspective. That's interesting, Cockpit Perspective, because then you can get the Ace Combat games in, which are different than the Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 style games. Still, I'm not sure if I would put Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 as like a recommendation, though, because there isn't anything in that game. You have to add all the features and want to just fly from one airport to another. Like, there should be a career mode in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020.
Like a Euro Truck Simulator sort of thing?
Exactly. Just like, you know, like, yeah, you need to, you know, accumulate miles and you get, like, graded on your performance in the flight and everything. And I'm not saying, like, fly through rings or anything, right? Like, don't get cheesy with it, but yeah, there should be something for that. And that's...
Can I jump back to horror real quick? Would you consider Universal Paperclip a horror game?
I don't think so, but it is.
An existential horror game?
Yeah, it's an existential crisis game.
Think of how you're left feeling once you finish that game.
Yeah, well, don't spoil it, but I will always recommend Universal Paperclips. I even posted it in our Discord one time, but people were like, oh, it's a clicker game? I'm not.
I'd say, though, that could also count as an educational game. It just sort of gives you, it educates you on scope and scale.
It also counts as a based on a desk item game. That was on the list, right? That was one of
Yeah. We did not like based on a desk. We didn't like based on paperweights for the whole Rob series. Speaking of, the next question is, develop a game that uses Rob in an actually fun and exciting way. Now, I should note that we might not limit ourselves to NES like capabilities here, but we do have to limit ourselves to Rob capabilities. You can't add like AI to the Rob.
Okay, well, I've got something that I think is possible. It would probably be bad and wouldn't sell well. But all right, so here's the game. It's a game that basically turns your Rob into a Tamagotchi. The cart has a battery to keep an active clock, and it, like, you know, it, you gotta like do stuff in the game to interact with him, though. But he will physically move to react to how you're taking care of him. And as a little bonus, in the packaging materials, like whether it's at the back of the instruction manual or just like another slip, there's going to be a bunch of stickers in there to make your Rob your own.
I enjoy that. Joe, what do you got?
So I'm also pretty sure this is all within the capabilities of Rob, but I'm imagining this kind of in like, it looks like gyromite. But you're racing through a level as Rob is completing his sequence of, you know, whether it's pressing buttons or stacking certain blocks, but probably pressing these buttons that are kind of closing doors and stopping, like adding obstacles. And like, if you don't get through this part fast enough, he's going to trap you and you're trapped. You got to start over. So you're basically racing Rob as he's setting blocks, but you can also get power-ups that will just put Rob in like a however many second timeout where he just stops moving. That's all doable within the hardware, right?
As doable as a Tamagotchi, right?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Mine, again, what's doable and what's not, but it is using the Rob the way that the NES hardware allows him to do. It is an ARPG that takes place in the it takes place in the distant future. Okay, where all it's basically like Terminator. All the robots have turned against the humans except for Rob. So you playing as like a you know, badass action hero are teamed up. So it's a co-op game with Rob, who basically just acts like any other kind of computer enemy in the game would act, except for there's also this Final Fantasy ATB style thing with Rob, where like, you know, a gauge fills up, and when it hits a certain meter, you can press let's say like the select button, and that will cause a flash on the screen because Rob reads flashes, and that will cause him to input a button on his controller to then do like a, you know, like A does whatever you've set, like as a whether it's a magic move or some kind of like, you know, killer move. A will do that and B will do the other, and you kind of gain with experience new moves that he can perform with his A and B. So otherwise he's just obviously punching and helping alongside you, but then he does these like, you know, awesome robot style finisher moves when you press the select button if the gauge is filled up enough. So you kind of like, there's this risk reward system of, do I, you know, like I filled up the first gauge, do I just hit select now to do like the level one style attack, or do I fill it up like seven times to do the ultimate finisher?
I'd play it.
Next question.
Let's develop these.
Yeah, let's all make these, or let's have people make these. And yeah, that'll actually, let's
open,
just have people make
Rob
these.
Yeah.
Right. That'll be our next game jam. Yeah, we did one game jam before that was like NES influence. Now it's like Rob influence. Make more Rob games.
How would
games.
We test the game? Like, how would we play the game if people submit the Rob games? We'd have to get a bunch of Robs.
Yeah, and they'd have to all learn assembly. what is the reason you are only doing the official Nintendo releases, but not NES games brought out by other companies that released games for the NES, such as Tengen? I wouldn't be surprised if one of your answers is there are too many.
This is a you question.
This is a me question, yes. Because I'm the only one who can answer it, because I'm the one who came up with the show. And would you believe it that it's just because I wrote the logline as a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America and just took it to heart? I was like, well, you have to just do the licensed ones then, right? Like, it's every NES game released in North America, so it's just the ones that Nintendo like sanctioned.
Oh, I think you have to retroactively go back and add official in the middle of that.
It's funny because, but then like, what's stopping us from going into like the bootleg games that are, what, we should play that Rugrats game.
That
right?
That
like,
is exactly what the guy's asking.
But those weren't released. Like they got like huge lawsuits about it, and they had to, you know, they basically had to like reverse engineer the NES pin to even like pull off getting these games to work without Nintendo sanctioning them. So I don't think you would count them on a list of released video games, if that makes sense. You know, like they wouldn't
there you
be
have it.
On the list. So yeah, maybe controversial, but you know, these Tengen games and other, I know there's like some Bible adventure games too and stuff like that. They're not out of the realm of possibility for our Patreon feed, you know, Nostalgia Bites. We could play them there. I just wouldn't want them on the main feed because it kind of muddies the timeline. And speaking of muddying the timeline, sure, we've already screwed that up too, right? Is it really chronological? Did those games really come out in that order? Probably not. When did soccer release? Was it a launch game or was it later? I found some pictures that indicate it's a launch game, but pictures now in the age of AI? Anybody can picture anything.
It could also be like a Berenstain Bears thing, you know, or you know, we just have to do our best to on the fly. Like, weren't we already going to have done like a Final Fantasy episode by now based on old information? Like,
yeah,
this
exactly.
Stuff just moves around.
Everything's fungible. Famitsu famously gives games a score out of 40. They have four reviewers, and each reviewer gives a score out of 10, and then they add those to get the final score. Are there any nostalgia 30 for 30 NES games so far? Ones that you would all give a 10? Guys, what games are we giving a 10?
All right, how are we going to do this?
Sean, say your 10s, and then Joe will tell you if any of those 10s are on his 10, and then I'll tell you if any of the ones that you and Joe listed are on okay. my 10, and all right. we'll get to it. Yep.
But then also, I think that, Mike, you and I should still give the ones that aren't on there in case it, like, triggers something and Sean, like, oh, yeah, that would be a 10. You know?
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so Super Mario Brothers. Okay. Castlevania.
One. Super Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just making sure.
Continue.
Castlevania. Okay. Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
Okay.
Not Mike. Okay.
Contra. Okay. Ninja Gaiden. Okay. Blaster Master. So there you have it. None of us agree on
wow. it. Wow. Unless any... Sean, no Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, that's the one.
Super Mario Brothers, but no Super Mario Brothers 3.
I mean, I don't know, man.
I would only consider Super Mario Brothers 3 the 10 out of 10. I would give Zelda, Castlevania, and Super Mario Brothers 2 9 out of 10.
Well, I'll say I have a couple other ones here. I'm not expecting anyone to chime in, but just in case, Faxanadu or Fuzzanadu. I have Willow with a question mark because I probably
no
didn't
way
play that to
10
remember.
Out of 10.
Oh, I loved Willow.
Wow,
I loved Willow.
I know, but 10 out of 10.
I also just added right now, for what it's trying to do, Shadowgate.
10 out of 10? Nah.
I know.
I think the whole, like, what it's trying to do, I don't think it can get to 10.
Really? Okay.
No, I mean, like, the idea of, like...
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but, yeah. I mean...
The only other game I would even consider a 10 out of 10, other than Super Mario Bros. 3, and this is weird... Zelda is the 9 out of 10 for me. That's not going to change. But Mike Tyson's Punch-Out might give that a 10 out of 10. Might.
Why?
Because that game is just everything it sets out to do. It does it flawlessly. It's endless fun, and it's just you know, there's no flaw in that game. You know,
right.
You're
so,
just
so
either,
you agree
it's
on
just a
my
skill
end
level
that
thing.
So you agree with me that it is okay to do it based on it what it was trying to do or what it's trying to be.
Well, but I think even what it's trying to be holds up in 2024. You know, like Mike
gotcha.
Tyson's Punch-Out is
yeah,
not like
okay,
replicated by modern games.
That's
no one's
fair, yeah.
No one's making Mike Tyson's
Punch-Out.
But
I still
wouldn't
give it 10 out of 10. But yeah, that's a fair distinction because Shadowgate, if I were to put it among other games like that today, probably would not give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but you know I would give the port of Shadowgate a lower score than I would give the PC version. you know that historically is my answer.
But I do have one more kind of a cheat answer because it was only one of our Bytes episodes, but Sweet Home.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a 10 out of 10 for me. Like, that is a definite 10 out of 10.
That's okay, some good stuff there.
It's a 9 out of 10 because too many times the chandeliers fall. That's a joke, of course. But I don't know. I didn't think about what I would give that game. But okay, so Sean controversially not giving Super Mario Brothers 3 a 10 is what stops any game on this list from being a 30 out of 30, which is good because you know why? Famitsu used to never give games a 40 out of 40. It was incredibly rare. And then now they do it often. And it's like, I don't know how this happens all the time, though, right? Like IGN didn't usually give out 10 out of 10s.
Yeah, it's been like 6 tens this year. And,
yeah, right? It's
also
like
just want to say that like this might be kind of off topic, but I used to be of the mind of like, oh, there's a such thing as a perfect movie, game, album, whatever. So perfect scores should never be given to anything. But I've since come off that high horse and now think that, like, you know, maybe these grades should be more on like a normalized scale. So if it's just like one of the best games, then maybe it deserves a 10. So that's why yeah. I had a lot of games, whereas it sounds like Mike only has two. And Joe, you've got a few too, though.
Yeah, I think I'm in between. But I consider it not 10 out of 10 as in there's absolutely no room for improvement, but 10 out of 10 is that like I rank this in the highest tier of the games, which is the 10th. You know, the 10th out of 10.
Here's my hot take on reviews in general. 5 out of 10 is just the average game. Like, people want 7 out of 10 to mean, like, you know, oh, this game might be...
Because they're thinking about a passing grade, yeah.
Yeah, they're thinking about a passing grade. But I'm, like, more like, no, if it's a 5 out of 10, that just means it's like every game you play. Like, it didn't do anything special or whatever. Like, if it's a 5 out of 10, not that it was a bad game. Like, that's a 4 out of 10 is a bad game.
Right. But I got to imagine that out there in the world of all the games, there are a lot more games that I wouldn't play than I would. So I feel like an average game that is a 5 out of 10 probably is one that I'd be like, yeah, I'm not interested. I want only an above average game.
Absolutely. I'm just saying people aren't capable of rating on that scale. Like people will just naturally, and it's the same thing of like why more review magazines now give perfect scores like more than ever before is just because like as you start rating more and more things and have like a larger database, you just start to, everything trends upwards. Didn't we have that conversation about the whole 9 yards, how it used to be the whole 7 yards, and they just, and like over time, they just have to like, numbers just grow. So that's how this happens. What do you call that? Like inflation review creep?
Probably some combination of that.
The next question, what happened to Sam the Manual? Why is he not on anymore? Sean, you want to take this one?
Has he not been around? Didn't he just answer something?
Sam, is your recorder working? Oh, okay. Yeah, his recorder wasn't working.
Thank
you for calling that out to us.
Yeah, well, we should take the time to try to figure out if we can recover those files, because he said a lot of insightful things in the last 100 or so episodes that I'm sure people were like, what are they talking about? Why are they responding to that? And it's like, oh, because we were responding to Sam.
Yeah. We probably sound crazy. We have no idea what we're talking about.
The next question, so far, have there been fewer essential games that you expected when you first started the podcast, or more? In other words, have you been surprised, either positively or negatively, by the quality of the NES library?
So, I mean, like, yeah, taking a look at the stats, I guess there's more now than I would have expected. But then again, like, the quality of these games has been better overall than I would have thought. Like, before we started the podcast, and even now, the majority of my game knowledge is kind of, like, late SNES, PS1 era, and then, like, forward. So I already kind of had a prejudice against 8-bit, and kind of thought, like, oh, that looks kind of simple and boring. So I guess I just overall had a negative expectation going in. So, I mean, with all that in mind, there seems to be more than I would have thought.
And I'm going to go the opposite there, because I think that I had like a totally opposite perspective coming into it, because I always liked, I guess, the idea of retro games, but I didn't really play a lot of them. And, you know, I had played the NES as a kid a lot with the games that I had, but like obviously I ended up just playing the really good games over and over again and not many of the bad ones, and I only played a few anyways. So I thought there were going to be a lot more, like, I knew there'd be a lot of jank on here, but I don't think I just realized exactly how much jank there would be in this library. And if I'm being honest, I think when, like, before this podcast, when my mind was thinking of the NES, I was probably conflating what the feeling I got with really what probably fits more with, like, the 16-bit era, the Super Nintendo games. Like, now when I think back, I'm like, yeah, a lot of these things that I like was thinking of probably are what I can find in the Super Nintendo, which is another system I didn't have. So yeah, I think that I was expecting more. I mean, after the first, you know, couple months of the podcast, if I were to screenshot how I was feeling then and look at it, then I think that there are a lot more good games than I thought. But from before we ever started, I was a little surprised.
So Joe's getting sick of the NES.
Yes. No, it's the opposite now. It's the opposite. I'm like, wait, no, I don't remember now. I've confused myself.
I, of course, have a weird philosophy with the essential games list in that I try to be its gatekeeper and very strict about what gets on it and everything. And so, obviously, 31 essential games is way too high for me. That can't be right. There can't be 31 games that everybody should play. And then on the flip side, that's only 10% of the library so far. So that sounds nice. 10% of all games released on
the NES.
You're
like, your goal is just to have the fewest on there regardless of...
My goal is to make sure that I don't waste anybody's time.
Yeah.
You know, like... Because I'm wasting so much time. I'm wasting so much time that I would feel bad if somebody was to play Life Force and feel like I robbed them of their time. But I know that I didn't do that. I know that I set them up for at least some heckin' cool 8-bit visuals at the very least.
You better hope they don't start playing Zelda 2, because then they'll be like, wow, all the time I've wasted not playing Zelda 2.
Yeah, when I could have been playing Fazanadu. Or Willow, if you're crazy.
Willow,
you
know? Up there.
If you're into that kind of thing. No, in truth, yeah, I think it is actually about where I expect it to be, and I expect it to kind of stay around this 10% number. I don't have any reason to back that up. It should theoretically get lower because
I'd like it to get to 8%. I think 8% is going to be a good one.
I've heard there's some junk coming up ahead, but something tells me that there's also a lot of, you know, like, think about it. We haven't even got to Final Fantasy yet, so there's Final Fantasy. There's 3 more Dragon Warrior games. No more Mario Brothers, though, so it doesn't have that going in its favor. But some more Mario games, right? He's missing in that one. Anyway, the next question, how do you manage your podcast along with your family, work, and playing video games for your own enjoyment? Sean, how do you manage?
Well, that's funny. So this is mostly a Mike problem, because Mike is the one that edits the show and does most of the research. And I can't speak for Joe, but I mostly just react to things. And that's just me reacting to you guys talking and also reacting to my own time playing the game. So my only real obligation is to show up every week and to have played the game. That said, having a prescribed order of these games sometimes takes the fun out of things. Because, you know, a lot of these games I would not play unless I have to, and that's just how the show goes. So, it's more so just like, it's more so like, sometimes it does feel a little bit like work, but most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll recommend to anyone who wants to start a podcast that the first thing you should do is send all your files to somebody else like Mike, who will do all the work in actually making it into a podcast. But in seriousness, sometimes it's tough to like find the time to play the games. And yeah, I do go through sometimes like that syndrome where it's like, oh, I got to play this video game. I'd really rather just sit down and play my video games, you know? it's like it's taking me away from my video games. I got to play this other video game. But usually I do enjoy it. And my late night sleep schedule usually helps me find time to play the games. And like shorter games, usually I can play in one sitting. But the longer games, actually, even the ones that I don't like, I find give me a nice excuse to hang out with some of my friends that, like, you know, we're all older now. It's harder to hang out, but I can always be like, hey, I need some help with my podcast. And it feels like we're doing work, but really we're sitting down and like co-oping a video game together. So shout out to friends of the show, John and Mark, who are often there with me playing these games.
And it's really no secret that we don't record these the same week that they publish. We have a good, like, storage
buffer.
Supply, yeah, buffer of these. And that's important. Like, we did that even from the very beginning. We recorded, like, 4 episodes before we ever launched the show. And, you know, there's no reason for the show to be live or close to live, right? It's old material that we're just experiencing for the first time. So that really helps with the workload thing, because if something went wrong for a week, it's like, cool, okay, so next time we'll just record 2 or something like that. That really helps. It also just helps to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this on Sunday. Like every Sunday, usually I just dedicate some time to like editing the podcast, answering people and managing that stuff. In terms of playing the game, I usually just try to like play ahead. Because I doing the research and stuff, like, that's its own thing that I usually have to, like, you know, find the websites for and everything. And you get better at that as time goes on, 300 episodes or whatever. But the actual video games, like, if I just played it, if I just started playing it, like, if we record the episode on Wednesday, if I just start playing it on Thursday for the following Wednesday, it's not really, like, enough for me to figure out how I feel about the game. I don't say that I have to put like a ton of time in or whatever, but I feel like I need more time to keep going back to it to find like, is this a stale game? Like, is this the kind of game that I don't enjoy booting up? You know, it's not something that you, I'm not saying I played Jeopardy 4 weeks in advance and played it for 4 weeks or anything, but like, you know, you need to get that kind of feel for it too, because these games are 40 years old now. You can't make a decision based on 1 week of playing the game. So yeah, you just have to, with any podcast, my advice would just be that you have to have that buffer and you have to kind of like have a schedule for it. Other, everything else, like I don't think about, like obviously work comes first, family comes first. Playing other video games, I kind of wish came first, but family and work usually push other video games off the chart anyway. So I maybe play, I don't know, 12 new video games a year, and that makes me happy. One a month, I can do that. That's all I really need. You can pick one NES accessory to use in the bedroom. Which one are you taking, Sean?
This is kind of blue for what we usually talk about. Do we usually get into the into this stuff here?
Usually. Almost every episode.
Almost every episode.
Since you're asking.
I should specify that the person who asked this question basically joined the Patreon just to ask this question. They paid their $5 for the month and then immediately submitted this question. So I think that's really funny.
All right. Well, I mean, there's really no question here. I want something that I can at least project the idea that it may want to also enjoy its time in my bedroom. So it's Rob, baby.
Oh, you took my answer.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I was going to say Rob just to watch.
Just to watch. You know, you got to get that chair. You got to fill that chair in the corner with something. Or someone.
I like the idea that you bring a girl home, you bring her in the room, and just Rob is like set up, like looking right at the bed, right next to the bed. That is the first thing.
Or
first
you, thing sit, seen. You sit. You sit in the chair.
Yeah, it's better than it's Rob.
Rob is already in the bed. I'm going to watch.
It's better that it's Rob than some other guy.
What do you mean? It's Rob is just a person.
Yeah. Well, you know. Sure. Rob's as much alive as I don't even know what to make as a
you really there, caught so, us off guard here with this one. Mike is flabbergasted.
Well, because I wasn't going to even think of Rob, to be honest, because there are, like, listen, you got the power pad if you don't want to make a mess, right? You know, like the easy cleanup, just do it on the power pad.
Okay.
You got the power glove.
Now, do you plug the power pad in and just like you try and play like track and field or something while you're?
Think about the power glove, okay? And think about you really want to turn your girl on, right? Or guy. The power glove alone, just putting it on, it's like wearing socks during sex. You know, it's like everybody likes to wear socks during sex, and everybody likes to also wear gloves. So the power glove is a natural enhancement.
Especially like
of
a
that.
Plastic like gauntlet.
Joe, you didn't really give an answer.
I said Rob to watch, and okay. I also had written down power glove, but you took that too. I mean, I guess if I have to pick something that wasn't said, I don't know. what else? Maybe the zapper.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I
else
mean,
is left.
We all know what the zapper can, would be used for.
You can use it for something, but
yeah.
Great.
Woo! Okay.
Yeah, so we got through that question. Good job. remains to be seen if we'll be making any more episodes after that.
I need a drink.
You know, guys, those were all the questions that I gave you in advance, but there was a bunch more came through, and rather than just ignore them, I thought it would be good to maybe just do like a quick lightning round where like I answer a question, Sean answers a question, then Joe answers a question, and we'll just go around in that circle. You guys game for that?
Lightning.
Yeah.
All right. First one, after the NES catalog, have you decided what, if anything, is next? And to all that, the only thing I have to say about that is that that is like more than a decade away. People don't realize that because they think we're in 1990, so we're close. We are talking about like 2034 is the end of this podcast. So I think it's safe to say that we will be retiring. I don't know, you know, like it feels that way right now. I don't think we'll ever do the Super Nintendo and all those games. But you know, like how much more can we do? That's 600 episodes.
I still think we're going to get to Wario's Woods and we're going to be like, wow, great job. And I'm like, well, what now? And I'm like, well, we might as well start on Super Nintendo.
That's
we'll
crazy.
See. We'll,
all right,
we'll see when we get there.
We will see. And then, the next question, sorry, just give me a second. Burger Time is a nightmare game about building giant burgers while being chased by food. What is your perfect burger, Sean?
Oh, okay. I'm simple, but I do I do like some spice. So like, I kind of want, I want the brioche bun. I want the bacon, but then I also want some peppers on there, maybe jalapeno, maybe red. If you've had Shake Shack, you kind of know what I mean. And maybe some barbecue sauce on there under the cheese. And then the bacon, you might even put that in the ground beef. Like, I'm very simple and American about it.
Joe, you now have to add Rob functionality to one essential game. Okay. Which game do you pick, and how does Rob work with it?
Oh, man, this is a lightning round question?
It's a lightning round question. Just have fun with it. Don't.
All right,
I'm
going to go Duck Hunt, you know, because we haven't had anything with like that with multiple peripherals before. So how does it work? Duck Hunt uses the other controller. It controls the duck, which is a feature we found out you can do. It's really, really easy.
Rob controls the duck. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What did I say? Duck Hunt uses the other controller?
Yes.
That he changes his name. He puts on a bunch of like, you know, hunting gear and everything. Yep, it's perfect. Okay, for me, who is the worst developer on the NES so far? Surprising answer here. It's Tose, we don't know how to say them. Those are those Japanese ghost developers. So unfortunately, they're called that because they're called the worst, in my opinion, because the ones that they do put their names on happen to be the worst. So we don't know the good ones that they made. But just listen to this order: Chubby Cherub, Muscle, Ninja Kid, Kid Nicky, Radical Ninja, Legend of Kage, Bases Loaded, like Racket Attack. These are not good games. We have not given any of those a play yet, so they are the worst developer in my mind. Sean, which NES game has the best soundtrack?
Oh, shit. I'm not the person to answer this one. I can't remember what happened 3 days ago.
Which NES game has the best soundtrack, Sean?
I'm going to say it's obviously Skate or Die.
Okay, Skate or Die it is. Joe, you sounded like you might have had an answer.
I don't know about best soundtrack, but I still cannot ever get over the sound for the music for Pictionary, the menu music for Pictionary.
Yes. It's also the correct answer is Castlevania 2, Diamond's Quest. It has Bloody Tears. There's no other answer.
Maybe you should have answered that one.
Huh, funny. Joe, the next question, are you regretting the mailbag idea?
No, not at all. This is a blast.
Okay.
That was an easy one.
For me, which NES, it doesn't say game, it just says which NES would you like an anime to be based on? So yeah, I think the Top Loader NES would be really cool to see an anime for. Sean, which NES game makes you feel worse as a person for having played it?
There are so many, but I guess the fact that there was an actual reason to play the Fisher-Price games, like that was something that we had to do, that kind of made me wonder, like, what am I going to tell people when they ask, like, what I do outside of, like, what do I do to enrich my life? Like, oh yeah, I play children's educational games. To talk about that for 40 minutes.
Joe, if Super Smash Brothers was made for the NES, what 8 characters would be playable?
Oh, 8 characters. Well, obviously Mario. You'd have to have Link. I would give it to...
So only Willow. Mario. Sorry, go ahead.
Willow. Oh, I mean, can I pick more from the same property? I mean,
no,
Luigi
please.
Get on
yeah,
there?
Luigi can get in there.
We'll give Luigi on there. Let's see, what are other...
I was going to say just Mario, but also both spies.
I was just going to say one of the spies, or maybe two of the spies. So we'll go 2 of the spies. That brings me to, what, 6?
Yep.
So you 2 more.
2 more.
What are, like, the games that I love that you guys don't? Like, I'm trying to think there's one that, like, I always have on there that, like, you guys want off.
Oh, it's just the Earth from To the Earth?
Yeah. No, it's Mars. No, we'll do, all right, I guess I gotta move here. So
yeah.
I'll go more on just iconicness. We'll go Donkey Kong also. And lastly, what's his name? Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, Ryu.
Ryu.
Yeah. That's his name. Ninja Gaiden.
And Pink Floyd.
Yeah. That'd be funny, actually, yeah, if that's his name in the game, too. It's just like, Ninja Gaiden. Sean, give me one of the unlockable characters in the game.
it's got to be Solid Snake. I'm not Solid Snake, just Snake.
Yeah, just regular Snake. Okay. And then for me, what is the best Girl Scout cookie? That is the Samoa, the one with the like coconut flakes on it.
That's it's delicious. Mint chocolate.
It could be one of the best ones if it was had a little less caramel in there.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'm inclined to agree. I'm inclined to agree on that, but it is still the best one given the options.
Nah, you got the peanut butter. What's the peanut butter filled one?
Those aren't tagalongs, are they?
No, but no. I forgot what they actually are.
Well, those and the Thin Mints, yeah.
Thin Mints are pretty good. Thin Mints are pretty good, but other people make good Thin Mints. Nobody else makes the good Samoas. Like the Keebler Elves make good Thin Mints. They call them grasshoppers. Yeah, they call them grasshoppers or something. It's weird.
Yeah, those are
okay, Sean, trying to give you one that won't take you a minute to answer. What is your favorite candy, and how did it trick you into making slalom an essential game?
That's not a Sean question.
But my favorite candy is you know what? We're just going to go with Fun Dip. Just sugar on sugar. And it did not trick me into anything.
Joe, if you could have a sequel made for one NES game, what would it be?
Let's go Archon.
Okay.
All new pieces, all new
Didn't
all
they
new
make
rules?
One? Didn't they
Maybe.
Make an Archon?
Did they?
Yeah,
well, great.
I think they did.
So I succeeded.
Yep, it wasn't true until you said it. Archon 2 Adept, but it wasn't for NES, so you're asking for the port. I get it.
That was the game, by the way, I was thinking of when I said the one that I like on there that I think you guys want off.
Oh, there you go.
At least you do, Mike.
Well, yeah, Sean voted it essential, so hopefully he doesn't want it off so quick. Let's see. Would you consider having special guests on your podcast? If so, who would you consider? We'd love to have special guests on the like Bytes feed or on Patreon feed and everything. We just want to keep the show because of the idea that it's, you know, new to us and everything. Wouldn't really make sense to have like Jeremy Parrish on the show with us for a game when like he's had 40 years with it and we've been playing it for at max 3 to 4 weeks. So the main show will never have a special guest. Never say never, but most likely never. But we are always open to, and in fact, we did a fun interview with Celeste on YouTube that I'm sure I can link to somehow. So we're not opposed to also appearing on things either. It's just that for the main feed, you'll always just be stuck with the three of us.
Celeste is from Boss Rush Media, by the way, if anyone...
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's her. Yeah, I was like, it's her handle.
In the world.
Well, you know, I was actually confused for a second and thought it might have just been her account. Sean, Shadow the Hedgehog answered the question, what if Sonic had guns? What NES game could have made it on the Essential Games list if it had guns?
Oh, I'm going to go with any of the wrestling games. If any of the wrestling games could like bring guns into the mix, I think that would really get me going.
How has nobody ever pulled like a pistol out from under the ring? You know, like everything is
exactly.
under the ring, right?
Exactly.
How has nobody ever pulled out a gun? It doesn't even have to be loaded, right? Like a slap would be enough with a, you know, a nice pistol whip.
I know. I need shots fired.
Joe, do I have anything for you? Joe, are there any developers that have really surprised you? Maybe one that you either hadn't heard of before or just that you thought were known for poor quality games but are actually good?
No, because I don't really know developers at all before this podcast. So, like, I had no prior expectation for, like, any developers going into it. I guess maybe Rare, like, because I know of them or, like, you know, but I, you know, really, very, really, I have very... very little opinion on developers from this era in general. So like, I didn't really pay much attention to like, oh, which ones are really blowing me away. I more look at the games. It's kind of like how I listen to songs and not artists.
And the final question, and a fun one, because it'll tease something else we're doing that everybody can jump in on. You don't have to be a Patreon member to get in on this. The question is, will you be doing a Tecmo Super Bowl stream in the new year? And unfortunately, that question was asked in 2023. We're doing 2024. But the Super Bowl still hasn't happened. And so for those of you unaware, every year on Twitch, I stream two computers playing Tecmo Bowl, whatever the year is. And believe it or not, there's still a ROM hacking scene for it where they add all the current rosters, all with, you know, unique stats and everything. And so we will have a Chiefs 49ers Twitch stream of the Tecmo Super Bowl NES special on the same day as the Super Bowl, but just many hours beforehand. So this way you can still go to your party and everything. So be on the lookout for that. It will be posted both on our Twitter and our Patreon, so everybody can get in on the fun.
No matter who wins, we all lose.
America loses, unless you're, you know, rooting for, unless you happen to live in those two specific states, which isn't even true, actually, of the 49ers, right? Like, if you just happen to live in that area of a gigantic state known as California.
It's also not even true in terms of Kansas City, because, you know, it's you know, mostly Missouri people there.
Ah, okay. You know, that's a good point, Sean. So maybe don't watch the actual Super Bowl. Maybe just watch our show instead. We'll have to schedule it, though, accordingly, because we also have the Puppy Bowl that day. And so we know people don't want to miss the Puppy Bowl. They don't want to miss the Super Bowl. But they also don't want to miss the Nostalgia Bowl. So thank you for giving us a bowl of questions. We have been fed. We are no longer hungry. And we will hopefully do another mailbag next year.
That's it. All right. All right. I'm stopping.